Very busy time in African football as the qualifying action really heats up for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. There were 14 qualifying matches over the weekend, and there will be 14 more on Wednesday. In one of the big surprises of the weekend, the Red Devils of Congo-Brazzaville became the first team in more than 30 years to win a competitive match in Nigeria as the Congolese stunned the defending Nations Cup champions 3-2. Our friend in Lagos, Segun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, tells us more in this in-depth Nations Cup report.
Good evening, Africa. 28 teams are playing in this round, which is the group phase of the qualifiers. The teams are divided into 7 groups of 4 teams each. Each team will play 6 matches between now and November 19th, 2014, after which the top 2 finishers in each group, plus the overall best third place team, will advance to next year's finals in Morocco. African champion Nigeria did not have a good start to its campaign to defend its title in Morocco. The Super Eagles of Nigeria saw red in the hands of the Red Devils of the Republic of Congo as they were handed a shock 3-2 defeat at home on Saturday. Fellow 2014 World Cup teams Algeria, Cameroon and Ivory Coast got onto a better start after they all won their matches. There were also home victories for Burkina Faso, Gabon and Tunisia, and an away triumph for the tiny Cape Verde Islands. Zambia, which won the Nations Cup in 2012, was held to a goalless draw at home by Mozambique, while Ghana also drew at home, 1-1 with Uganda. Congo became the first country in 33 years to win a competitive match in Nigeria, beating the Super Eagles 3-2 in the southern city of Calabar. Nigeria was last beaten in a competitive home game when it lost 2-0 to Algeria in a World Cup qualifier in Lagos in 1981. Efe Ambrose headed Nigeria in front after 13 minutes. But Congo captain Prince Onyango equalized 3 minutes later. French-born striker Thierry Bifoma put Congo ahead 2-1 in the 48th minute before he converted the penalty in the 54th. Congo had been eliminated in the early knockout rounds but was given a reprieve when opponent Rwanda was found guilty of fielding an ineligible player. Meanwhile, Nigeria's head coach Steven Keshi has said the defeat may be what his overconfident players require to sit up.
I talk to the boys, you have to be very aggressive, first to the ball. You know, I played against Congolese team before. I know they play this tip-tap. You don't let them play. And we scored the first goal and everybody went, hey, hey, hey. And then that was it, you know. It's a shame that we had opportunities, we could not score, mostly second half. First half, they were winning 2-1. But it's part of the game. Maybe it's going to be a good lesson for the players. Maybe too much confidence. We'll see how it goes in South Africa.
For his part, the vice chairman of the Congolese Football Federation, Jean-Paul Fouani, expressed happiness that his team could beat football giant Nigeria.
I'm very happy because, you know, the Nigeria is the big team in the soccer. Today, I have not seen the good team Nigeria. I think Nigeria has some problem maybe in the team. But this is the soccer. Today, maybe it's not good for the Nigeria. But maybe next time. But the Nigeria is a good team. It's a good team. I haven't seen your team. Yeah, Nigeria is a good team. Nigeria is a good team. It's a good team. Because here we have one player in Congo, Thierry Bifuma. We have seen Thierry Bifuma, the number 30. He's a good player. You are seeing he has moving your defenseur. I think the Congo is kind of gone along.
In Kumasi, Ghana needed a penalty to avoid defeat at home to Uganda, drawing 1-0 in Group E. Ghana had to come from behind after a long-range effort from Tony Maweje gave Uganda a surprise lead on the stroke of halftime. The hosts were awarded a penalty when Dennis Iguma fouled Abdulmajid Waris in the 58th minute, and Dede Ayew converted the spot kick. In Lubumbashi, Cameroon put a desperate World Cup behind it, as debutant Clinton Ingier and striker Vincent Abubakar scored in a 2-0 victory over the Democratic Republic of Congo in Group D. Stephen Mbia produced a captain's performance at left back, having taken the armband from Samuel Eto'o, who announced his international retirement last month. In Abidjan, Ivory Coast began a new era without Didier Drogba.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Who has also quit the international stage by defeating Sierra Leone 2-1 in the other Group D game. Gervinho scored the winner as the Ivorians came from behind to beat their West African rivals. Sierra Leone was severely affected by the Ebola virus outbreak in the run-up to the game, with support staff prohibited from traveling to Abidjan by Ivorian health authorities. In a Group B game in Addis Ababa, Algeria beat Ethiopia 2-1. In other matches, Yassine Chikawi scored a late penalty to give Tunisia a come-from-behind 2-1 win over Botswana. Samson Bingwe scored with a powerful shot as Gabon beat Angola 1-0. Burkina Faso, runner-up at the last finals, overcame Lesotho 2-0, while Cape Verde scored three times in the first 24 minutes to win 3-1 in Niger. Now, let's remind our listeners that match day 2 of the Nations Cup qualifiers is scheduled for Wednesday, when another set of 14 matches will be played. Staying with football, U.S. Major League Soccer club DC United has signed on Samuel Ikom, who has been on Ghana's last two World Cup rosters. The club announced the signing of the 25-year-old player on Friday. Ikom has 46 career appearances with Ghana. He has been playing professionally in Ukraine since 2011, even though he has been on loan to French club SC Bastia last year and Platinias FC of Greece this year. Another Ghanaian, defender Kofi Opare, is also playing at DC United. Thanks a lot for listening. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Segun Adeyemi in Lagos.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In another Nations Cup qualifier played Sunday, Mali beat visiting Malawi 2-0 in Bamako. The match was scheduled for Saturday, but because of heavy rains in the Malian capital, the game was postponed one day. Bakary Sako and Sheikh Diabate scored second-half goals for the Malians, who moved to the top of the Group B standings with Algeria. Both teams have 3 points. Now let's go group by group and run down the next round of qualifiers on Wednesday. In Group A, Congo-Brazzaville will host Sudan, and South Africa is at home against Nigeria. In Group B, Malawi will host Ethiopia, and Algeria is at home against Mali in an early top-of-the-table clash. In Group C, Angola is at home against Burkina Faso, and Lesotho will host Gabon. In Group D, because of the Ebola crisis, Sierra Leone will play its home match in the Democratic Republic of Congo, so the game is, in effect, a home game for the DRC. The Sierra Leone DRC qualifier will be played in Lubumbashi. In the other group match, Cameroon will host Ivory Coast in Yaounde. In Group E, Togo will take on neighbor Ghana in Lomé, and Uganda will host Guinea. In Group F, Mozambique is at home against Niger, and Cape Verde will host Zambia. Finally, in Group G, Botswana is at home against Senegal, and in a spicy all-North African matchup, Egypt will host Tunisia. is a sunny side of sports salute to Serena Williams, who won her third consecutive U.S. Open women's tennis title with a 6-3, 6-3 victory over Denmark's Caroline Wozniacki in New York. It was Serena's sixth U.S. Open singles title and her 18th Grand Slam championship. It was also, in winning her third straight U.S. Open title, Serena matched the mark of Chris Evert, who also won three consecutive U.S. Open titles during the 1970s. After the match, Serena posed for photos with the trophy alongside Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova. They both won 18 Grand Slam singles titles also. The U.S. Open men's final will be played later Monday evening in New York, and it features two players who weren't expected to get this far: Croatia's Marin Cilic and Japan's Kei Nishikori. Both posted upsets in the semifinals, with Cilic eliminating Swiss star Roger Federer, while Nishikori ousted world number one Novak Djokovic. Nishikori, by the way, is the first Asian-born man to reach the final of a Grand Slam tennis event. And I know a lot of Japanese will be watching the match. That'll be Tuesday morning, Tokyo time. I'm VOA's Sonny.